All right, Genesis 14. Go ahead and turn there. Any of you guys like to win? That's what I figured. I read about, maybe you guys heard about this lady in the news back in September last month. She won the lottery, the $1 million lottery, for the second time. You guys may have heard of this lady. About 4 years ago, she won the lottery. Her odds at that time of winning $1 million was 1 in like 5.2 million. And she actually beat the odds. She won the $1 million. Then, 4 years later, last month, she bought some more tickets. And the odds of her winning that lottery were 1 in almost 800,000. And she beat all the odds and won another $1 million. Can you believe that? So the second time that she won, it turns out that her odds for winning $1 million two times in 4 years is 1 in over 3 trillion. It's not very good odds, right? So here's the thing. That lady overcame all the odds and she ended up winning. And this morning, as we look at Genesis chapter 14, we're gonna learn about Abram, who overcame all the odds by God's power and came out winning. But ultimately, it was God who came out winning. So what we're gonna do this morning is gonna be a little bit different than normal. Usually, I'll sit down and we'll study through the Bible, but we're gonna have a little more participation this morning, alright? So, track with me. We're gonna go through the whole chapter here in just a minute. And kind of learn what's going on, get a picture of it, and then I'll get you guys involved here. First of all, just so you guys know, I put my art skills to work, okay, this week. And I drew this beautiful map. It took me years. No, not really. This is a highlighter. It's really, really sketchy, but I'm okay with that. Here's the thing. I was reading Genesis 14, and I got so confused with all the names and all the geography. How many of you guys are good with geography? Anybody? Anybody good with that? Okay. Like if I gave you a map of the United States, how many of you could tell me where all 50 states are? Nice. You guys are good. I'd be like, let's see, New Mexico, Texas, California. Man, I don't know about the rest, you know? So geography, though, is very important. And so what I want you guys to do today is be able to see in your head where all of this is taking place. You guys have probably heard of the Sea of Galilee. That's where a couple stories in the Gospels took place, of Jesus and his disciples. The Dead Sea. This is Jerusalem. This is the place that Jesus did a lot of his ministry. Right here in Jerusalem, Judea is the area up here, Samaria. So this is kind of the area that we're in, but of course we're a few thousand years before Jesus, about 2,000 years before him. And so Jesus isn't around yet on the earth, but we're going to learn about the guys who were. All right. So follow along with me. Genesis 14. We're going to read through it here. The first two verses talk about 9 different kings. We'll get to their names in just a minute. But in the first verse, it gives 4 kings. One of the guys' names is Chedorlaomer, and he is like the big king that rules over 5 other kings, okay? So the 5 kings in verse 2 are the servants of the 4 kings in verse 1, all right? Try to track with me here. It says in verse 3, all of these 9 kings joined together in the Valley of Siddim, that is the Salt Sea, okay? So right here is where the kings joined together. All right, right there in the Valley of Siddim. Verse 4, 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. Now verse 5 is when the conquest happens. In the 14th year, Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him came and attacked the Rephaim in Ashtaroth and Carnaim, the Zuzim, the Emim, verse 6, and the Horites in their mountain of Seir as far as El Paran, which is by the wilderness. Verse 7, then they turned back and came to En-Mishpat, that is Kadesh, and attacked all the country of the Amalekites and also the Amorites who dwelt in Haziz on Tamar. Verse 8, and the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar, went out and joined together in battle in the Valley of Siddim against Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and his other buddies. Verse 9, the very end, 4 kings against 5 is this battle. Verse 10, now here's where the action takes place. Now the Valley of Siddim was full of asphalt pits. You guys know what asphalt is, right? The stuff that they pave roads with. Now imagine out in the wilderness, big open pits of this hot tar. And they're trying to have these wars, and it says that they're going all around these things, and some fell there, it says in verse 10. And the remainder fled to the mountains. Verse 11, then they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions and went their way. They also took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Then one who had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre. Verse 14, now when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, or his nephew was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked, he didn't attack them, and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods, and also brought back his brother Lot, and his goods, as well as the women and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Sheva, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. Verse 18, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him, and he blessed God. Verse 21, now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you say, I have made Abram rich, except only what the young men have eaten and the portion of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Okay, we just read through the whole chapter. How many of you guys are thoroughly confused? Nice. All right, good. We're going to clear that up, all right? Promise. So let me kind of break it down so you guys can see it, and then we'll get you guys involved here in a minute, all right? First of all, it says that Chedorlaomer is the king of Elam. He's over here on the east, and he's got three buddies, okay? He and his three buddy kings, they're like the bully kings, all right? They're like, all kings are our servants, and if you're not, then we're going to like TP your house and give you wedgies, all right? So they're like the bullies over here, all right? These are the bad guys. And over here, we have a group of five kings who for 12 years, sorry if you can't see, let me move this, for 12 years have been ruled by the bully kings. And then it says, I believe in verse 4, 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year, they rebelled. Okay, so they get the good idea, you know what? I don't like that guy. He's kind of a bully. Let's not serve him anymore. So they rebel against Chedorlaomer and his other three king buddies. Now, if you've ever been a bully, which I'm sure none of you have, but you don't like when people decide that you're not a bully anymore and rebel against you. Okay, so Chedorlaomer gets a little upset. And he says, hey, three other bully kings, let's go. We got to beat all these people up. We got to show them who's boss. So what they do, they roll in from the side here. And what they're concerned about, you can tell by who they attack. They're concerned that if they go and they try to defeat these kings, then all these other people from the surrounding areas will swoop in and try to kill them from behind while they're attacking their enemies. So they say, we got to really show them who's boss. We got to wipe everybody out, all right? Now, you guys like video games where you get to, like, shoot each other and kill people, and it's a little scary. But it's much more intense than even a video game, because these kings come in, and the Rephaim, it says, they wipe off the map. The Zuzim, the Emim. Now, those are kind of weird names, I know. We're like the Albuquerqueans. In Bible times, they'd probably think that was a really weird name, all right? The Albuquerqueans, well, these are the Rephaim people, the Zuzim people, and the Emim people. They get wiped off the map. Chedorlaomer and his buddies come in, kill them all. It's slaughterhouse. It's not good. Wipe all them out, all right? Then it says he continues down. Eventually, he takes out the Horites. He takes out the Amalekites, the Amorites. But none of those people were bothering those kings. It's the five other kings that they're after, all right? So finally, it says that they meet up right here in this valley, the Valley of Siddim, or the Salt Sea, and these four kings that came from over here get together with these five kings. And it says they draw their battle lines, and they go to war. Now, keep in mind, it's not only the kings. It's not like four guys wearing crowns, holding scepters and purple robes against five others. This is their whole armies. This is a gigantic war going on. Okay? This is huge. So check this out. These four kings come down and they wipe out these other five kings. They're like, hey, remember how you said we're not boss? Oh yeah? Check this out. And they let them have it. It's game time, and they get going, and they just wipe these people out. It says that Lot, at this time, is living in Sodom, and they wipe out Sodom. They take all the people. They don't kill everybody because they want slaves. And one of the people that they haul off is Lot. They take all his possessions, his wife, his family. It's not good. So they're like, all right, sweet, we killed everybody. Let's get out of here. So they start going up this way. They're heading back. They're heading up this way. Well, in the meantime, one of these guys living in Sodom escapes. And he says, I got to let Abram know. All right? So he runs over to this place called Hebron. That's the place that Abram is living. And Abram is there. And this guy comes over. Hey, Abram, dude, I got to tell you this. We were just having this intense battle. I just ran all the way over here, and everybody's dead, and all the people got taken, and all the possessions, and all these kings are bullies, and they took all their stuff, and they're heading, and Lot's with them. They took Lot and his whole family. And then Abram gets mad, and he's like, oh no, they didn't, all right? And he gets a little mad, all right? And so here's the thing. When you mess with one person of God, you mess with all of them. It's kind of like when you mess with one bean, you mess with the whole burrito, right? It's just not good, right? So here's Abram, and he's like, I don't really like that, okay? So I'm going to put an end to that. So Abram, smart guy, he has raised up warriors in his house. Now, I don't know how many of you guys raise up warriors in your house, but Abram had raised up 318 of them. That's a lot of warriors. So he says, hey, warriors, come on, game time, let's go. Grab your swords and your stun guns and your tanks and let's go to war, right? So he gets them going. They start chasing them. It says that they chase them all the way up here, all the way to Dan. They pursue them. And then finally in Hobah is where they overtake them. Who knows how it happened? Maybe it says it happened at night. Verse 15, he divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So maybe he gets up on the top of the hill, he sees the army down in the valley, and he says, all right, guys, there's thousands of them, 319 of us, let's get them. So he divides them up, and they run down in there, and amazingly, by the power of God, they overtake these four powerful kings that have just wiped out all these people. Abram and 318 of his trained servants take over it all. So it says that God gives them the victory. They get Lot. They get all his possessions. They come back. They're walking down this way. They get right around here in the Valley of the Kings, and then the king of Salem, or the king of Jerusalem, named Melchizedek, comes out to meet him. He's a cool guy. We'll talk about him. And then the king of Sodom comes all the way down from Sodom. He's like, sweet, Abram saved all our stuff. And he tries to cut a deal with them. All right. So you guys kind of see all that's going on here. Do you see it on the map? Okay. Okay. A few of you look a little confused. Here's what we're going to do. I want to get you guys involved, and I need some actors, all right? So here's what I need. I need nine kings to start off. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Come on up here. Okay, nine kings. Amraphel. Grab that. There you go. Arioch. Chedorlaomer. Here, you get a sword because you're the tough guy. Tidal. There you go. Bera. There you go. Birsha. There you go. Shineb, Shemeber, and king of Bela, that is Zoar. All right? Okay, now, what I need is, on this side, I need Amraphel, Arioch, Chedorlaomer, and Tidal, right over here. Okay, I need all the other five over here. Okay, someone's confused. Someone's confused. Chedorlaomer, you're over here. There you go. Nice. You're the tough guy. You can go ahead and take out your sword out of the sheath. There. Oh, yeah. Shing! Battle time. All right. So we got, these are the evil kings that live over here. You guys should growl real quick. Nice. Evil, right here. Okay, evil. And then we have, I don't know if they're, well, actually, these guys are pretty evil too, but they're being bullied by these guys. Okay? So you guys are living right down in this area. You guys are living right over here. Okay, you got it? All right. So here's what's going to happen. Now, next we need, let's see, I need, who else do I need? I need Rephaim, Zuzim, Emim, Horites, Amalekites, Amorites. I need six more people groups. One, two, three, four, five, six. Come on up here. Okay. Rephaim, there you go. You're the Zuzim. I know you wanted to be them. The Emim, the Horites, the Amalekites. Hold on. Paper. Okay. Amalekites, there you go. Amorites. Okay, you can be an Amorite. You're her buddy Amorite, all right? You guys are living down here, all right? You guys are kind of actually in this region, but we'll let you live down there for now, all right? So, one day, you hear that they don't like you anymore, all right? Tell them you don't like them. Yeah, very nice. They don't like you, all right? You heard that message, and what do you guys think about that? Oh, he says you want a piece of this. Nice. Tough guy right here. Very nice. What king are you? Amraphel. Don't mess with Amraphel, all right? So he's mad. They don't like each other. But you guys know that if you start to kill them, all these people are going to try to beat you up. So you got to take care of them first, all right? So kings, go kill all them. Go kill all of them. Don't stab them too hard. Okay, kill them all. You can lay down on the ground right there once you're dead. Lay down, you're dead. Nice. Okay, lay down, you're dead. You guys are all dead. Nice. Okay, you're done killing. Enough slaughtering. Okay, evil kings, you killed all of them. Now, go and kill all these kings, except for the king of Sodom remains alive. All right? That's the king. Go kill them all. Kill them all. Okay. Oh, wow. There was actual killing taking place. Okay, you guys are all dead, except the king of Sodom, but you can just hang out right there. All right, nice. Okay, now you guys can't go home yet. Because what you have to, hold on just a minute. I need a Lot. Who wants to be Lot? Okay, come on up, you're Lot. Okay, here, you're Lot. Okay, Lot, you're over here because you live in, okay, go back home. Okay, you're Lot. Okay, now here's the thing. They wiped out your city, but they took Lot. Okay, so I need you kings to come take Lot and start walking that way. All right? Stop somewhere up there in the valley over there. Okay? There you go. Walk away. No. Oh, wait. Yeah, you're good. Okay, very good. You stopped right there. Very nice. Now I need one who escaped. William, you look like an escapee. Come up here. Come on. Hurry. Okay, one who had escaped. Okay, you had escaped from this battle, and you're not very excited that they stole Lot. Okay, hold on. Now I need Abram. Where's Abram? Come on up here, Abram. I saw you walk in here, Abram. Okay, here you go. You're Abram. You're living down here. Come over here. You're in Hebron. You're over here. Okay. Okay. William, you're one who has escaped. You go tell them, hey, they stole Lot. No. What did I just say? Stole, not killed. There you go. Okay. So now tell them the truth. Don't lie to them. Okay. They stole Lot, all his stuff. Okay. So now Abram's like, uh-uh. Oh, no, they didn't, right? Okay, so he gets mad. Now I need 318 trained servants. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, now you take your servants, and you go kill all those kings, okay? And then bring Lot back. Kill him. Hurry. This isn't... There you go. You're all dead. No, you're really dead. Yeah, you can lay down. Okay, you're really dead. No, he's Lot. She's Lot. Yeah, there you go. You couldn't tell? Lot was actually looked like a really pretty girl. Lot did. Okay. So here we go. So we got Abram and Lot. Everything's great now. On the way back, William, I don't know what happened to you. You can die. Okay. You can die. Okay. Then, the king of Sodom, and I need, king of Salem, Melchizedek. Come on up. Hurry. Run. You're Melchizedek, king of Salem. Very nice. Now you come out. You're meeting Abram on the way back. All right. And you say, hey, Abram, how's it going? Nice. Okay. And then you say, hey, thanks for saving all our stuff to Abram. Very nice. Okay, good. So everything's good now. Give a hand to all our actors. Very nice. You guys can all take a seat. You can keep that if you want. I don't know what you're going to do with that, but okay. So now when, okay, you're not really dead. You can get up now. There you go. Oh, you can keep it, throw it away, whatever you want to do with it. Thank you for putting my sword back. Wow, I got a little crazy. So here's the thing. When your parents ask you what you did in Velocity this morning, tell them like 17 kids died. They were, I'm serious, Mom. They were laying all over the stage. It was sad, you know? Okay, so do you kind of see what happens now? Do you get it in your head? Do you see the picture? Okay. So when someone asks you, man, I was reading Genesis 14 and all these names and it didn't make any sense. Oh, okay. Let's act it out. All right. You got to tell them. Now let's spend a couple minutes thinking about this here. I want to hear from you guys. Now it was fun, but I want to hear from you guys some serious things that you can learn a lesson from this chapter. All right. Some serious things that you can take home and apply to your life from what we just learned. That's okay. You got it. Very nice. Treat each other with respect. Very good. Very good. Don't mess with God or his people. Very good. Very smart. Be prepared. Very good. Very good. Don't run with sharp objects. Do what? Awesome. With God, all things can be overcome. Don't be a bully. Very true. Exactly. Very good. What else? Okay, nice. All right. So, yeah, last one. That's right. Abram and his 318 trained servants. Don't mess with them. Let me give you guys some things that God showed me. You can write these down if you'd like. First of all, I know that we can learn a lot from these kings, believe it or not, even though they're evil. Because every single one of us has been given a choice. Those nine kings who rebelled against God had also been given the choice. And that choice was to believe in God or to reject God. To accept him or to reject him. And that's the thing with God. When you decide one day, you know what? I'm not going to accept God. It's not simply just not accepting. It is rejecting God. And these kings, because they did not accept God and live for him, they rejected him. We have all been given a choice, every single one of us. And that choice is heaven or hell. Accept God, go to heaven. Reject God, go to hell. Period. It's very simple. It's a very easy decision. Or so you would think. But a lot of people choose to reject. And it's unfortunate. And these kings chose that. But we know, as we saw today, that God always gets the last word. One of the guys I want to point out to you, Melchizedek. He's a pretty interesting guy. You can read more about him in Hebrews chapter 7. Write that down if you'd like to research it later. Interesting guy, type of Christ in the in the Old Testament. In fact, some people believe that this guy, Melchizedek, and I can't get into all the reasons why, but was an actual appearance of Christ to Abram. You noticed around verse 18 that Melchizedek came out, and it says that he blessed Abram, he blessed God, and then Abram gave him a tenth of all of the things that he had gotten from this battle. He tithed to this guy. That's what you do for God. So this is a pretty interesting guy. He had also been given the choice. Abram had been given the choice. Lot had been given the choice. Now let's learn a lesson from Lot. Do you guys remember last week when we studied about Lot, where Lot was living? You guys remember what happened? What was it? Exactly. He pitched his tent near Sodom. In fact, it said toward Sodom. You guys remember what happened? Abram and Lot split up. Abram said, you take whatever land you want, I'll take the other side. Lot looked over, saw this green grass, the river flowing through it. And he looked and he saw this city. And it said, you know, this city was probably really good looking, very prosperous. It was called Sodom. And he's like, man, I want to live down there. All the grass is green. It looks great. He knew this city was evil, but he went down there anyway. It says he got really close. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. Well, now we read in chapter 14, verse 12, and it says, they also took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom. So Lot allowed himself to get very close to the evil, very close to the temptation. And before he knew it, he was caught up in it. Now, we know that Lot was still a righteous man, even though he was living in the sinful city. Tells us that in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8. Refers to Lot as a righteous man, but he was caught up in sin. He was living in the midst of it. And that's what I want to warn you against, because it is very evil. It is very easy to get close to sin, to get close to temptation, to set your tents up facing it. It looks fun. It looks appealing. Before you know it, when you allow yourself in that situation, you're caught up in it. And you're just like the rest of those people. And not only that, but you get caught up in their consequences. You notice that it was Lot who got taken away during the war. Had Lot stayed away from that, he may have never come up against that problem. So Lot allowed himself to get too close. Another thing we can learn is from Abram. Abram is an awesome guy, awesome man of faith. We learned last week that his faith was tested by famine. Now, Abram's faith is tested by fighting. Everywhere, all around him, his world is literally crumbling. Okay, I want to show you a map here. It's the second map that shows the conquest of the kings coming down. It's our next one. And as you see, that turquoise line on the far right, that's the path of the king that they took down. That they took down as they came down to conquer. Okay, you see that purple number 5? That's where Abram was living. Literally, all around Abram, his world was crumbling. People were dying. There was sorrow. There was heartache everywhere he looked. And in case you guys think that this was just a little battle, not a big deal, let me read a quote to you guys from a book. Okay, check this quote out. It says, every village in their path had been plundered and left in ruins, and the countryside laid waste. The population had been wiped out or led away into captivity. For hundreds of years thereafter, the entire area was like an abandoned cemetery, hideously unkept, with all its monuments shattered and strewn in pieces on the ground. Everywhere Abram looked, there was destruction, there was pain, there was anguish. And yet, Abram chose to trust in God. Last week, we learned that he chose to trust in himself. And he left the promised land to go to this evil land of Egypt. And he began to perform like the Egyptians. He made up lies to cover himself up. And eventually, he was found out, and any witness that he had to those people was completely ruined. But now, here he is, a man of faith, and as war goes on all around him, as his world literally crumbles around him, I can picture Abram on his knees saying, God, I trust in you. You said you've given me this land. In fact, you probably remember the end of chapter 13. God told Abram to get up and to walk the length and the width of the land. He said, for I have given you this land. You know who else would walk the distance of the land? Would be somebody who was conquering the land. Somebody who had just gone through and conquered the land, and they would walk all around and check out all the land that was going to be theirs. Abram was a conqueror through God, and he overcame the obstacles in his way. And guess what? The world around us is literally crumbling. Sometimes it's depressing to watch the news, to read the news. Just in this last week, you guys have probably heard of some of the devastating things that have happened. In Colorado on Wednesday, the school hostage situation that took place up there. 7 girls taken hostage. They were assaulted. One of them was killed. Then the guy who took them hostage killed himself. All of this happened in a school. Just yesterday, a Brazilian plane crashed into the jungle, killed all 155 passengers aboard. They clipped another plane as they were flying and careened into the jungle. Everybody dead. Then in Canada, this is literally happening all around us. Colorado, Brazil, Canada, everywhere around us in Canada, there was an overpass, a freeway overpass that collapsed and cars were crushed underneath it. Everywhere we turn, people are dying. There is pain. There is anguish. But we can be the Abram. We can be the men and the women on our knees, trusting God that he is going to fulfill his promise. Do you guys believe that when God makes a promise, he fulfills it? Do you guys believe that? It's time for all of us to start living that way, myself included. We should be like Abram on our knees, thanking God for what he's done and what he's going to do. God has big plans for all of us. Another thing we can take away, we saw that Lot, since we learned last week, has moved. He wasn't content with where God had him. At first he was outside of Sodom, then eventually we read this week that he was inside Sodom. Well, Abram, even when everyone around him moves or goes to war, we find him in the very same place that he went to worship. Abram was a man of worship and a man of faith. And he didn't move even when everything else around him was in motion, falling apart. And I want to encourage you guys to be the same today. But maybe today you say, you know what, I don't know for sure if I would go to heaven or hell. You know, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that at one day every knee will bow to the name of Jesus Christ. It says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. Every single person that ever lived will one day get down on a knee and say, he is God. But that day will be too late for a few people. For those people who on earth today decided to live their lives for themselves, the one day when they finally realize after they're dead and they're looking at God and they finally say, oh, he is God, it's going to be too late for them. But right now, you still have a chance. You can bow your knee right now and say, God, he is God. I'm ready to live for him. And if you want to read about how God always gets the last word, read Revelation 20 through 22. Talks about God's final defeat of Satan. Satan is thrown into the fiery lake. The false prophets are down there. They're bound for the rest of eternity. And then chapter 21 and 22 talks about us going to heaven and how beautiful the place is. God has big plans for you guys. Don't ever doubt it. And if you need to make a decision this morning that will change your eternity, you come talk to me or you talk to a leader. It's the most important decision you could ever make. God always gets the last word. Let's pray. God, we thank you that we can have so much fun learning about your word. We thank you for the lessons that you can teach us through it. Lord, help us to steer clear of temptation, unlike Lot. But help us also, Lord, to be men and women of faith like Abram, like Melchizedek, who gave you the glory, who worshiped you. God, I pray that we would be pillars in our generation, that people would be able to look to you and find their strength, not through us, but through you. God, that we would point others to you just like Abram did. And when we are tempted to take the glory for what you've done, God, I pray that we would turn it around and give it to you. We love you, Lord. You're so good to us. Pray that you bless us today. Be with anyone in this room who needs to make a decision for you this morning, Lord. I pray that if that's anyone in here, you would speak clearly to their hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. You guys have a great Sunday.